Please turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, Matthew 28. Also, please check into social media. Let the world know that you are worshiping our Lord and Savior this morning at Chevis Oaks Baptist Church. Amen? Are you happy about being here? I hope so. I hope so. Matthew chapter 28. Now, Steve, you just about preached my message this morning, brother. I wanted to stop you, but I didn't, and you'll see. I mean, you hit on at least two of the points, but we're going to touch it again. Now, can I tell each one of y'all something that will just absolutely blow your mind? Y'all want to hear some mind-blowing news?
Yeah.
Here it is. 2019 is gone, never to return. We can't get it back. I'm seeing some of y'all saying, praise God, I didn't want it, didn't need it. But it's gone, never to return. It is the year 2020. Now, where that's not headline news, so to speak, at least to me, it is somewhat shocking. I mean, 2020. I remember being in school and them, you know, all these, y'all remember the books, the Loch Ness Monster and the Bigfoot books and these books and UFO books they used to, and they used to say, you know, by the year 2020, we're going to have flying vehicles and this and underwater condominiums, and there'll be, you know, apartments on the moon. You'll be able to, you know, live on the moon. Y'all remember all that craziness? Guess what? They were wrong. They were absolutely wrong. So, I mean, it's shocking to be in 2020 to me. Church, I'm still in shock and have to remind myself from time to time, listen, that I'm an adult. I mean, do y'all sometimes wake up and you're like, I'm an adult. I mean, it's just still shocking to me. I can do what I want when I want, as long as Amy says it's okay. I'm an adult. Do you know that I have 3 children and 2 grandchildren? Me. Butch, I mean, we got old, brother. Not you, but me. We got old. Life is going by so very fast, and no matter what I do, I cannot make it slow down. I cannot make the years go by even just a little bit slower. I mean, if y'all tried, I have. Just this past week, Amy said, slow down. We need to slow down. We couldn't. I mean, we couldn't make time slow down. This year, 2020, we are 1 year closer to eternity. 1 year closer to the return of Christ. Now, I'm not sure how any of you feel about this news, I mean, this shattering news, but it makes me anxious. It does. It makes me a little anxious. It makes me feel a little unsettled. And this is why. Because I do not feel I have done near enough to stand before the Lord and give an answer. I don't. And if you feel like you've done enough to stand before the Holy of Holies, the King of Kings, if you think you've done enough, I've done enough to stand before Jesus, something's wrong with you. Somebody's giving you a lie, telling you a lie. So this morning, I want to tell you, or try to tell you, what I truly believe our focus should be. What our focus desperately needs to be this coming year. So let's look at Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to start reading in verse 16. Matthew 28, verse 16. It says, the 11 disciples traveled to Galilee to a mountain where Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped. They worshiped. But some doubted. So we have a group of 11. When they saw Jesus, some worshiped and some doubted. Some worshiped and some doubted. Then Jesus came near and said unto them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, and remember, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you this morning, again, we ask you to forgive us of our sins, Lord, and where we fail you. God, this is the first message of the new year. And God, I pray that you would help me, let me honor you this morning. Help me to make your name great. Help me, Lord, to share this focus that each one of us at Chevis Oaks Baptist Church, really every Christian, should have this morning as we start this new year. Help us, God, to desire to worship you through our service to you, Lord Jesus. We say we love you, but let our actions show what greater than our words. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. What did we just see in our scripture this morning? The very first thing that we see is a direction in verse 16. Let's look at verse 16 again. It says, the 11 disciples, what is that next word? They traveled to Galilee, to a mountain where Jesus had directed them. So the very first thing we see this morning is a direction. Church, if the disciples would not have gone where Jesus had told them to go, they never would have heard his instructions. There was a place that they were supposed to be and a time that they were supposed to be there. Now, I don't know where God has told you to go and where he's told you to be. I don't. Ricky, I don't know where God's told you to go and to be. I don't. Momo, I do not know where God has told you to go and where to be. I don't know where God has told you to go and where to be. I don't know where God has told any of y'all to go and to be. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has called me to be in Savannah, Georgia, at Chevis Oaks Baptist Church. This is where God wants me to be today. I know that. Do you know why? I'm here. And I'm excited to be here. I'm glad to be back. I am glad to be home. And this is where he is going to instruct me. Here. Where I'm supposed to be. If I were anywhere else today, I would not hear from God. Church, wherever it is that God is directing you, you need to go. You need to be, and you need to be on time. You do. First of all, you need to go. And I might get in trouble for telling you this. If this is not where you feel like God has led you to be, you're not going to be of any service to God or this church. You're not. I believe there are people who should be here who aren't here. And I believe there's probably people who are here who should not be here. I really do. Well, Brother Kyle, what makes you think that? I can look at your service. You see, when you're where you're supposed to be, you want to serve where you are. You do. And that service is evidence of where you're supposed to be. When you're not where you're supposed to be, there's very little service being done. You're not excited. You know, well, I guess I'll get up and go. I guess I'll go this Sunday because I hadn't gone the last Sunday. Or I guess I'll go this Sunday because I hadn't been the last two or three Sundays. Listen, there are people who should be here, and there are people who probably shouldn't be here. And it's okay. This church is going to grow and do what God wants it to do because it's God's church. Amen? It really is. But understand something. If God has called you to be here, if there was no doubt. Listen, Brother Kyle, I want to give you my short testimony. When we moved to the area, we visited this church and we visited that church. And God led me to Chevis Oaks Baptist Church.
When I walked through those doors and I saw your golden locks of hair flowing over your shoulders, it was like an angelic, and God told me that I needed to be a member of the church. Now, I waited 2 or 3 weeks, and I went to the classes, and I got to know the people, and God spoke to me and let me know that I needed to join Chevis Oaks Baptist Church. If God told you to join Chevis Oaks Baptist Church, this is the year you need to get involved. It is. You need to get involved. Well, Brother Kyle, what do I need to get involved with? You need to get involved with your Sunday school class of your age group. Start going. That's where you're going to really connect. That's when you're really going to learn. That's where you're going to interact and have people to interact with. I'm so sick and tired of hearing church members when they come to church and they'll spend a year here and they'll come to me, and this has happened since I've been your pastor, and they'll say this. They'll say, you know, I never felt included. I didn't fit in any one of the cliques. Well, let me just tell you, listen, this, Steve, this is FBI top secret information. You ain't going to find a clique on Sunday morning in this sanctuary. You're not. You need to go to Sunday school or discipleship training class or Wednesday night class and sit with somebody and get involved. You're not going to fit in anywhere just coming on Sunday morning. You're going to be one of those church members that say, I just didn't feel loved or liked at Chevis Oaks Baptist Church. All you know is somebody's first name. You don't know them intimately. You don't hear their prayer requests. You don't know what's going on in their daily lives, and that's how you have to get connected, church. Where is it that God's called you to be? You need to be there, and you need to be on time. Amen? Now, did you see in verse 16 as well that the disciples were willing to travel to where the Lord told them to go? Did y'all see that? Look at verse 16 again. It says, the 11 disciples traveled. They traveled to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. These past 2 weeks, y'all, I've been on the road. You ask Amy Waddell, I don't like it. I do not like it. I would rather, and some of y'all agree, some of y'all disagree. She will disagree. I would rather, if I know I have to drive to Rock Hill, South Carolina during the Christmas extravaganza, madness, I would rather wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and drive with no traffic, no people from Florida cutting you off and telling you you're number one. Not having to worry. I mean, there's traffic in both lanes, steady. I mean, there's steady. You can't. There's, you know, both lanes, and these guys are coming up behind you, like they're going anywhere. That's why they don't sell grenades at the hardware store or dynamite at the hardware store anymore. Y'all, if I'd have had dynamite, I'd have been lighting it and throwing it. Okay, Florida. I had to travel. I'd rather wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, Tony. Really. And I just put in a CD of some Christian music or just instrumental. But I wanted to see my grandchildren. I wanted to see my mom. I wanted to see my sister. There were some people on both sides of the family I wanted to see. There were some people on both sides of the family I didn't want to see. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yes, you do. But I had to travel to get what I wanted. These disciples were willing to travel. And what I want you to understand is this. If God has something in store for you, you've got to be willing to travel. You have to be willing to do something. You have to be willing to walk towards the direction that God is directing you to go. Well, Brother Kyle, I don't know what that direction is. If you're a Christian and you are in right relationship with God, God will tell you without any doubt where you're supposed to go. If you are a Christian and you are in a right relationship with God, if you go somewhere you're not supposed to be, guess what God's going to tell you? You ain't supposed to be here. And He's going to continue to direct you. But you have to be willing to go where God tells you to go. Amen? Now, two things happened when the disciples arrived, and I'm not sure y'all saw this. Two things happened, very distinct things happened, when the disciples arrived at their destination. Now, our scriptures says that when they saw him, they did one of two things. Now, I overemphasized it two or three times, and I hope y'all got it. When they saw Jesus, they did one of two things. Number one, they worshiped him. They worshiped him. How could they not? How in the world could they not? They had walked with Jesus. For 3 years, they'd walked with Jesus. They'd seen every part of his ministry. They were the ones who saw him first after he rose from the dead. He walked for the earth for 40 days, and they walked with him. They saw evidence of who he is, who he was, and who he will ever be. And our scripture says that some of them worshiped him. How could they not? But there was another group. But some doubted. Now, I'm glad that our scripture doesn't tell the ones who didn't doubt, because we as Christians like to throw stones at the doubters, don't we? Scripture says, but some doubted. Now let me ask, how in the world, how could there still be a doubter in the room? Now there wouldn't be for too much longer, because once Pentecost happened, oh, Tony, all their eyes were open. They're just like, oh, okay, I get it now. I really get it. When the Holy Spirit of God flowed through them and stayed in them, they finally got it. They understood. But on this day, there were still doubters. How could there still be a doubter in the room? Let me ask you this. How could there still be a doubter in the world today? How in the world? Listen, their work resembled who they were. What are you talking about, Brother Kyle? They were either worshiping or they were doubting. Worshiping or doubting. Now, church, God's given us every bit of evidence in the world. And do y'all understand that we have something? We have something that whoever the doubters were didn't have. Do you know what it was? The Word of God. But yet there's still doubters today. In the world that we live, there are people who doubt that God is who He says He is. Listen, He came to the earth. He walked this God. Jason, God came to earth. That's what we just celebrated. He came to this earth. He walked on this earth. He bled on this earth. He died on this earth. He became the sacrificial lamb for all people to accept Him. He joined the Jews and the Gentiles together to make one church. And then he said, you know, God said, that's not enough. I'm going to give them an instruction book. I didn't even touch that, y'all. He said, I'm going to give them an instruction book. Now, this is what usually happens. Amy will go somewhere, and this just used to happen, and some of y'all suffered through it this past couple of weeks. Kids have got to have something for Christmas. Right? I always wanted to buy it pre-assembled. I didn't care if I had to pay $9,000 more. I'd pre-assembled. But oh no. Every year when the kids were growing up, I mean, I remember. Y'all remember the wagon. We still have our kids' wagon. Stanley, it didn't come pre-assembled. Oh no. And listen, you can't pre-assemble it prior to Christmas night, because the kids are, you know, they're looking. Bunch of heathens. So you have to wait till Christmas night to assemble the Christmas wagon. Right? And this is what I do. I set out all the pieces. You know, just stretch it out. Amy comes in the room, how you doing? Just shut the door. Says, I need this tool, this tool, this tool. I'll get the tools. And then I'll, you know what I'm going to do next, y'all, right? I'm going to look at the picture. I'm going to look at that picture. Okay, I need to do this first. And then I'll start doing it, and then there'll be this one piece, and it doesn't fit right. And I was like, why doesn't it fit right? And this is the time. Now is the time to guess what we do. Where them instructions? Where are them instructions? We get started with the project without looking at the instructions. Now listen, I want to tell you something. Women, you too, because you're bad at it too. Listen, we need to read the instructions. We need to know the instructions. You cannot move in a direction if you don't know the instructions. Amen? And listen, we need to quit knowing bits and pieces and know it all. We really do. We need to know it all and understand it all. Now, with that being said, we had two groups. We had worshipers and we had doubters. I want to give us a few keys to unlock 2020. Y'all ready? I'm going to give you some keys to unlock 2020. Are y'all ready? All right, good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, we see at the start of verse 18, the first key we need in 2020. It says, when Jesus came near. Steve, see, I'm preaching your message, brother. It says, when Jesus came near. Y'all say that, when Jesus came near. Let's see, when Jesus came, that's four words. When Jesus came near. Church, we need to invite Jesus to come near. We need to quit pushing him away. And we need to invite him to come near. Did I show y'all that there were two types of people that came to the mountain? Those who worshiped and those who doubted. Now, when you're worshiping, guess what you're doing? You're inviting Jesus to come near. When you're doubting, you're saying, I don't know about this Jesus guy. You're pushing Jesus further away. We need to invite Jesus to come near. We need to notice when Jesus does come near. And we need to listen to Jesus when he comes near to us. We do. But it all starts with the invitation. Years ago, and I think it was around 9/11, somebody asked Billy Graham's daughter, why is it that God would allow 9/11 to take place? And she's really smart, Ann Graham Lotz. And she said, for years, we as Americans have been telling God to get out of our lives, and he's a gentleman. And he has done what we've requested. Church, we need to invite Jesus to come near to us. And if you don't, there's probably a reason why. Don't you want Jesus to be near to you? So we need to invite him to come near. Now listen, now we have to follow the directions Jesus gives in verse 18 now that we know that he's near. Number one, we need to understand this. He says, all authority has been given to me. Well, what does that have to do with me? He has all the authority. We need to accept that authority in our lives. Look, what are you talking about here? Has there been anybody in this room who's ever been a teenager before? Look, I've been a teenager. Timmy, believe it or not, baby, I used to have hair. I was a teenager. Really? Josh doesn't believe me. Look, he's one of those doubters. I don't believe Brother Kyle was. Timmy's going to worship that I was. I used to be a teenager. And I'm an adult. Oh, I don't care. I have three children. And they were born babies. Marie, you work in the labor and delivery. All three of my children were babies at one time. But something happened through the process of time. And they became teenagers. And you know what happened through the teenage years? Well, really, with mine, it hit like 20, 21, 22. But you know what happened? They became... I heard somebody say it before. So they became rebellious. And this is what it means when you're rebellious. Your parents will tell you, listen, you need to do this, you need to do this. And you look at them and you say, I'm grown now, I don't have to do that anymore. And I don't know how that worked at your house, but at my house, it didn't work so well. With my dad or with my children. Because see, this is like Bill Cosby used to say, this is my house. And if you don't like the rules of my house, you can get out. Well, I'll pack my bags and get out. No. Those are my clothes. I bought them clothes. Get out. Do you know why? Because I'm the authority in my house. And if you don't like it, get out. Well, brother, what are you trying to say here this morning? All authority, God, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. All authority has been given to me. Christians have a problem with that. Well, I don't like what God says. I don't like what the Bible says about this topic and this topic. I don't like that. See, because you're judging. No, I'm not judging. I'm standing on the Word of God, and I'm agreeing with what Jesus says, and that's where you need to be, because that is being under the authority of God. We need to accept the authority of Christ, and by doing that, we accept His Word, we accept His way, and we accept His will. Amen? I just gave you a 3-part sermon in about 10 seconds. Being in His authority, we accept His will, His way in our lives. Amen? But I'm not done there. I know some of y'all wish I was, but I'm not done there. By looking at verse 18, we see another thing that we need to do. It says, go. Go. I love, one of the things I love playing with my little granddaughter Winnie. I love to, when we're around each other, I'm worn out at the end of the day. I love playing with little Winnie. And one of the things she loves right now to do more than anything when we go up to visit her is she wants to go outside and swing. It doesn't matter what's going on, if it's pouring down, right, swing, Pop, swing. So we'll go out there, and this is what I'll do. I'll put her in the swing that's made for children. I don't put her in the little circle thing. And I'll pull her back. And I'll look at her, and she'll look at me, and I'll say, ready? Ready? Set? And after I say set, Winnie will say, go! And that's when I'll let her go. And we love playing that game. And sometimes, Jason, I'll pull her back, and I'll say, ready? And she'll say, ready? Set? Set? And she'll say, go? And I'll hold her. And she'll say, go? And I was like, and she'll say, Pop, go? And then I'll let her go. I don't know what you're waiting on. I really don't know what you're waiting on. Jesus says, all authority has been given to me. On your mark, get set, go. He doesn't even do on your mark, get set. He says, all authority has been given to me. Go, go, go. By all means, go. You know what the opposite of go is? What we're doing, stopping. We've stopped. We've settled. We've become sediment. We need to go, church. It's time to go. If there was ever a time that we needed to go, it's right now. We've got to go. Amen? Some of y'all are saying, yeah, I know. I wish you'd hurry up. Third, he says, we need to baptize them so that the world will know that God is still in the salvation business. We need to get busy, church. Then he says this. We need to disciple those who accept Jesus. Well, hold on a second, Brother Kyle. We hired you. You're the person who disciples people. What that means is we need to love them. We need to love the people. When they accept Christ, when we baptize, we need to love the people who come to Jesus. Church, we need to include them in everything we do. We need to try to include them. Listen, and we need to walk in such a way that they see more of Jesus and desire to be more of what they currently are. We need to teach those who accept Jesus what Jesus has told us to do. That means we need to know what to tell them. If we're going to be disciples, if we're going to disciple people, we need to know how to be a disciple. Well, hold on a second, Brother Kyle. I'm not sure how I know how to be a disciple. That's why we went through the life of Christ for what, 2-3 years? Because that's what Jesus was doing. He was teaching the disciples how to be disciples. Well, I don't get it, Brother Kyle. What do I need to do? You probably need to read the 4 Gospels and understand what a disciple truly is. God was building their faith. They had no faith. They didn't really have. We don't know of any of them actually accepted Christ as their personal Savior until He rose from the dead. But their faith was growing. Church, Luke records what happened next after the event we see here in Matthew. Luke says that as they watched Jesus ascend into heaven, that these same disciples were gazing into heaven. And an angel asked, "Why do you stand gazing?" Church, the very same question can and should be asked to us. We have work to do. The hour of the Lord's return is getting late. We are 1 year closer, 1 day closer, 1 hour closer, and 1 minute closer to His coming. We need to stop gazing and get to work. What do we need to do in 2020? We need to get busy. Well, we do. I challenged y'all last year, pray for one person. Try to reach one person for Jesus this year. Try. Listen, we need to go past that. We need to get to work. Do something. Brother Kyle, I don't know what to do. Well, I'm going to show you how to find out what to do here in a second. Church, we all need to get to work for the Lord this year. The question is, will you? We all need to go to work for the Lord. Will you? Will you be what Jesus saved you to be? Will you be what God created each and every one of us to be? We are all called to be a witness to this lost and dying world. We are all called to let our light so shine that the lost are drawn to our Jesus. Will you bring others to the Lord in 2020? Now is the time to make this decision. Will you come and commit this year to the Lord? Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord, as we come to you right now, let us, Lord Jesus, commit this year to you, to be the year that we go above and beyond anything because you've gone above and beyond for us. Let your Spirit move during this invitation. And God, if there's somebody here who has never accepted you as their personal Savior, let right now be the time that they walk the aisle and I'll show them what Scripture says each person, every person who's ever lived has to do to be born again and go to heaven. Be with us during this invitation, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, please move. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come? If you want to accept Christ as your personal Savior right now, will you come?